Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sword and Shield Show. I'm your host, Catherine Resendez. My guest tonight is going to be Gloria Marshall. She's the overseer of the House of Esther. The House of Esther. Sponsored by or run by Prison Ministries of America under the direction of Pastor Mark Maciel. He is the director of Prison Ministries of America. I usually begin the show with a scripture verse, and my favorite one for the show is in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and it's in chapter 4, Hebrews 4:16, where the Lord tells us, "Therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Our show tonight will certainly demonstrate or certainly remind us that the Lord is full of grace and mercy. So if there's anybody out there who's wondering, does anybody care? Why should I go on living? Does it matter? Nobody loves me. That isn't true. There is someone who cares about you. In fact, there's someone who loves you a great deal, and his name is Jesus. So if you need help, ask for what you need. Ask the Lord Jesus, the one who can really help you. Jesus is always waiting for us to turn to him. We just need to come to him. We just need to ask for help. Ask for what we need. He already knows what we need, but he wants us to come to him in prayer. He wants our hearts. He wants to save us. He wants our souls. He wants us to live for him. Actually, he wants to send his Holy Spirit to live in our hearts and to live out the Christian life through us. And he wants to take us to live with him and the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. And we can only do that through Jesus. So anyway, if anybody's feeling discouraged, and I know so many times I feel discouraged, terribly discouraged, but we don't have to stay in that place of discouragement and despair. The Lord tells us throughout the scriptures that he is our refuge. We can turn to him. In Deuteronomy 33:27, he tells us, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, 'Destroy.'" Jesus fights for us. He fights our battles. He destroys the enemy. We need to know who the enemy is. Jesus fights our battles for us. The enemy knows Jesus. And Jesus empowers us. When we come to him and receive him as Savior, Jesus fights our battles for us. He loves all of us, and he wants all of us to be saved, to be born again, and to live for him here, to be blessed by him here, and to tell others about him. Jesus came to make disciples, to teach others about him, to teach them the way to heaven, and to have them go out and tell other people, teach others about Jesus, that Jesus is the way to heaven. We can only get to God the Father by having a relationship with Jesus. It's not about how good we are. So many of the things that people think will get them into heaven. There's nothing we can do on our own to get to heaven. It's only through Jesus. Because salvation is a free gift. And we'll talk about that later also. Going to be calling in shortly is Gloria Marshall. She's the overseer, as I said, of the House of Esther. It's a place for people, for women who have suffered not only discouragement, depression, deprivation, abandonment, violence, horrific abuse, and rejection. Many of them have been homeless. Many have struggled with addiction to drugs and alcohol. But not only that, for many of the problems in life that most people experience at one time or another. And beyond that, all of the horrific chaos and destruction that some people suffer through in this life. And they wind up thinking that life is not worth living, because they believe that they have no place to turn, that no one cares, and there's no place they can go to find relief, refuge, and freedom, redemption, where we can be loved and cared for and have all of those things that we need, and that is with Jesus, with Christ Jesus, receiving him as Savior. And as I said, Gloria will talk about that and tell us about her experiences. She will share her testimony and talk about the miracles that she has seen that have been manifested in the lives of women around her. Miracles that Christ Jesus has done in the lives of women and others. And she's experienced this firsthand, this ministry, through the Prison Ministry of America, has literally changed lives with the connections that they have to help women and young girls, many of them who have lost their children, have been helped to the point of recovering their children, restoring their families, finding new jobs to get on their feet, and literally have had their lives changed. And now they are witnessing, ministering to others, mentoring others, discipling others. And that's a great story. That is a fantastic story. There's so much suffering in the world. We see so much advertised on TV. But many people don't realize how much devastation and destruction and poverty that there is going on right here in America all around us. I know we see a lot of it advertised, but there's so much more that most people don't experience and don't think about. So we'll be talking about that. And, of course, we're going to read from the Gospel Message as well. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll take it out and be ready and follow along with us. Later we'll have a prayer after the Gospel reading as well. I hope you'll tell other people about the show, the Sword and Shield show. Let them know that we're on every Thursday night at 7 o'clock from 7 to 8 p.m. every Thursday. It's called the Sword and Shield show. We're on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. I'm your host, Catherine Resendez. And in the future, we are going to have prayer warriors. We're going to have volunteers who will pray over your prayer requests. So I encourage you to listen and call in the future. If you know someone who's going through a hard time, illness or of a loved one, loss of a job, whatever the case might be, I hope you'll encourage them to call in and make their prayer request with us, and we will have people, groups of people praying for your prayer request for 7 days at a time. So don't be shy about calling in. Again, you're listening to the Sword and Shield show. Have you ever thought that life was not worth living because you were so depressed? Because you had reached your wit situation in your life that you thought was just impossible? I'd like to encourage you to see what the Lord tells us in the Bible, in the scriptures, to read the Bible. We are told in the Word of God to read and meditate on it, to renew our minds, Word of God, in Christ Jesus. Instead of reliving the same old story of our life, day in and day out, believing wrong thoughts that have been programmed into our minds in the past, maybe since childhood, instead of continuing with that, we are to read the Word of God and focus on Him and what He says about us, because we will get a completely different picture. Because the Lord says that He has created man in image and likeness. We were created in the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. And when we receive Him as Savior, when we confess our sins, repent of our sins and turn to Him, ask Him for help and ask Him to be our Savior, He sends His Holy Spirit, as I said, to live in us and to live the Christian life through us. And the Word of God tells us that greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. And as Christians, as followers of Christ Jesus, we know that the one in the world that we refer to is Satan, the evil one, the enemy of God. And since he's the enemy of God, he is the enemy of mankind also. He is the enemy of the followers of Christ. He hates us and wants us to fail because we are loved by Christ Jesus, the Lord. And again, as I said, when we receive Christ Jesus as Savior and follow Him in the Christian life, allow Him. He rebels against God. And pridefulness, He wanted to be like God. He wanted the worship that God received. He wanted that glory for Himself and turned against God. So He lost His place in heaven. And He can never be redeemed. Man can be redeemed. When we confess our sins and repent of them and ask God to forgive us, He is ready and waiting to forgive us. And He does not condemn us. He does not hold our past sins against us. God forgives us. All we have to do is ask, and we can have a fresh start. We need to repent of our sins and turn away from them, of course, and be willing to live for Christ. But Satan doesn't have that option. That's not open to him because he is not man. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the debt in full for the sins of mankind, not for the sins of spirit, not for the sins of Satan. He knows he's left out in the cold. Satan knows he is doomed forever. He knows he will be cast into hell, into the lake of fire, that he will be without the Lord. He will be separated from the presence of God for all eternity. That's a dreadful thought. So, you know, we are really blessed. We are privileged. We are really privileged. It's a dreadful thought to think that we would be separated from God. All we have to do is ask for forgiveness. And the Lord is waiting to forgive us. Do you know someone who is struggling in life and needs help? I hope you will let them know that there is a way out. I don't mean that everything will be a bed of roses, that everything will be just as easy as can be. Life can still be very difficult after we become Christians and we're following the Lord because we have an enemy who's struggling against us to try to make things as difficult as possible because he wants us to fail. And that enemy is Satan. He has power in the world also. But he can only do as much as the Lord allows him. We need to follow the Lord. We need to read the Bible and do what it says and allow the Spirit of God to work in and through us. The way to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ so that we can do those things is to read his word. We need to know what it says, and we need to do it. The Lord already knows what's going to happen ahead of time. And he tells us, for example, in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think of you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, peace of mind, and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You see, the Lord already has planned what he wants us to do in life. He knows exactly what he wants us to do. And it can be very difficult to know, but if we ask him, he will reveal that to us. Did you ever ask the Lord, "What is your will for me, Lord? What is your purpose for me? What is your will for my life?" If you ask him how he wants you to serve him, he will reveal that to you. In reading the Word of God, meditating on it. Meditating simply means to think about what it means, to ask questions about it. And of course, we're asking the Lord, "What does this mean, Lord? What are you saying to me in this? How do you want me to apply this to my life today?" The Lord does answer prayer. We should keep prayer journals. Write down our prayers and keep a record. Or just write down the date when the Lord answers our prayers. He can answer in different ways. He doesn't always give us what we want. He does promise that he will provide for all of our needs. But there's a big difference between a need and a desire. Sometimes we desire things, we want things that are not good for us. And God is a loving Father, and so he doesn't want us to have things that could be harmful for us, so he surely will not give us things that will be harmful to us. He wants to protect us. He's our provider and our protector. He's a loving Father. I'm having a little trouble. Tune in. Stay tuned in and hold on in case we lose the signal. I had a little trouble signing on because of that. And so if we do lose the signal, I hope you'll tune in and call back. Well, hello, everyone. This is Catherine Resendez. I'm sorry we did lose our signal for a while, but we're back on again. And hopefully our guest, Gloria Marshall, will still be able to get through to us. And so we'll continue the show. Sorry about that. I apologize. And I hope we won't lose the signal again. We're still working the bugs out here. And next week, I'm confident that things will go much smoother. In any case, I would like to share something with you while we're waiting for our guest to call in. I hope she can get that through. Some scripture verses. And again, I want to encourage you to tell other people about the show. Especially let people know that there is help. For those people who are living on the street, we have homeless people all around us who need help. We have women and children who are victims of domestic violence, all types of violence. Many people who just don't have the things that they need and who are suffering and need a little help. Would you tell them about Jesus? I know that can be very difficult. Sometimes it's very uncomfortable. We don't think we're going to know what to say. But you know, the Lord Jesus tells us that for all of us who are saved, all of us who have become born again in the Spirit, born again in Christ Jesus, we have become followers of Jesus Christ. He calls each and every one of us to do the work of evangelists, not necessarily to be an evangelist, but to tell others about the Lord, to tell them that Jesus Christ offers salvation, a new life, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And for those people who are homeless, many of them are having struggles with alcohol and drugs, and those things are very harmful to the body, to the mind, to our emotions. The Lord talks a lot about this. The Bible talks about this in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of God, and we're to take care of them. When we're suffering and needing help and we don't know where to turn, many times we can look for help or look for some way to numb our feelings by using drugs and alcohol, which of course causes more problems. But many people find that they have some relief for a short time, but they wake up situations, financial problems, not being able to pay their bills, rent or mortgage payments, or pay their car payments, and many other problems. The Lord talks a lot about drunken behavior. Drunken behavior is sinful and separates us from God. He talks about depravity, the sinfulness of man, all of those things that we can do that separate us from God. For example, in Galatians chapter 5, it tells us that the acts of sinful nature are obvious. For example, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, and so on and so forth. Dissension, faction, envy. Again, it mentions drunkenness, orgies, and so many things like that. The Lord tells us how to deal with these things in the Bible. And so I'm especially happy that Gloria is going to call in here. She is now. Gloria has seen so much of this suffering in her own lifetime. She helps other people who are dealing with this. Hello, Gloria.
Hi, Catherine.
How are you, Gloria?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I have to say, I am also. I'm so happy that you were able to get through. I know that
you're
aware of the fact that you've been having trouble. Are you there? I'm still having a little difficulty here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you better now. Awesome. Thank you so much for being patient. Thank you for calling back in.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, yes. I'm very grateful that you're able to be my guest tonight. And so I was telling the audience, whoever is listening out there, that you are Gloria Marshall. You are the overseer of the House of Esther, which is, am I correct in saying that it's directed by or sponsored by the Prison Ministries of America under the supervision or direction of Pastor Martin Hill?
Correct, yes.
Okay, wonderful. Gloria, I'd like to ask you now if you would tell us a little about yourself. And I'd like to know how you came to find out about the House of Esther and eventually become the overseer.
Yes. Well, as you said, I oversee the women's home. I've been overseeing for about 13 years now. The longest overseer they've ever had. The home has been founded since 1996. Time in my life where I wasn't doing so well. I found myself in jail for the third time. And through Bible studies, I got saved in Twin Towers 13 years ago, actually to this month. It's August. It's my 13th year. And and they spoke to me about the home. And I came to the program myself. And after completing the program, I became the overseer there. It blesses my heart to be able to help women that were in the same, that are in the same situation and circumstances that I was once. My whole life I've dealt with depression in many different ways, and that led to drug abuse. I was 28 years old when I started using drugs. I was working for Kaiser Permanente. I had been working there for 10 years. I was in the nursing program. I thought I was on top of everything. I thought, you know, this is what I want my life to be like. And I met a guy. I fell in love. Never knew he did drugs. For a year, we dated, and I didn't know. And then I fell into them so I can fit into his world. And after that, you know, everything went downhill from that. And it was a built-up thing from years of growing up with depression. At the age of 5, I lost my dad. At the age of 6, I'm sorry, I lost my father. At the age of between about 7 years old, I was molested by an uncle for a long period of time. And at the age of 8, I was raped by a family friend. By the time I was 19, I already had a 4-year-old son and a newborn baby and a husband that beat me. And so it was hard growing up. It wasn't easy. I had all these reasons to be depressed, you know, and it's part of who I am. I'm a depressive person. To this day, God has never said, okay, Gloria, I'm going to give you a dose of so you can just, you know, heal and take the depression from you. He can, but he hasn't. But he's allowed me and given me the strength to overcome it through his strength. I overcome it. I find joy in the morning. You know, I've embraced it. It's part of who I am, and I've accepted it. So I don't let it knock me down like it used to. I don't take any more pills. I don't see the doctors. It's just, I just seek him. You know, I go to the throne with it, and he pulls me out every single time. But what I was saying was at 19, I had 2 kids. So it was hard. It was hard. And then shortly after that, I got a divorce. And after that, you know, it was just downward spiral. I was very depressed. I started drinking little by little here just to forget things. And then when I met my ex-boyfriend and I fell in love and I started using drugs, I felt like I was a superwoman. I can do this, you know, I can work. I don't feel hurt anymore. I don't feel depressed. I'm cold. My heart was cold. And, you know, it was from there, I was probably using for about 4 years. And I found myself getting into, you know, the money ran out, I started doing, you know, things like petty theft just to come up, you know, with money for more drugs. I used to be a thief, a liar, and a manipulator. I can say that now because I am no longer that person. The biggest lie I had was saying that my kids always came first, and which is not true because the drugs came first when I was out there. I put the drugs before my children. And I think us who were using, that's one of the biggest lies we keep telling ourselves, oh, you know, our kids come first and it's all about family, which is not true because we, you know, we leave them to go seek the drugs, to go continue using. From that, I'll just say really briefly, from that, I was raped, and I have another third son, which is my third son, and I was out there using, and I was passed out, and my ex-boyfriend allowed this man to have sex with me, and I got pregnant from that. And I did not keep him because of my righteousness, because by the time I got to the clinic, I was too far along to have an abortion. But at that time, I had found myself also doing Wicca, which is witchcraft, and I was full-blown witch. It was a religion to me. I did it. I was devoted to it, and I did it faithfully. And when I found out I was pregnant and I couldn't do anything about the abortion, I stopped doing Wicca, because you have a fourth, a baby, you have a mind, you can't do your tarot cards anymore. There's just, and I was worried, because I've seen demonic things, I've seen very scary things, and it worried me and it scared me that my son would be exposed to that being in my womb. And when I was in jail and I found out, my son, I named him Adam Josiah, and A-T-O-M, I named him because Adam in the mythology, it's something you can't divide or destroy in the Greek mythology. And my Adam, I did not do any prenatal care until I was 7 months pregnant. I used drugs until I was 5 months pregnant. I saw the doctor 2 times, and I delivered 6 weeks early. So I really thought I was going to have a sick baby. I really thought my son was going to be really sick, deformed. But when he was born, he was 6 pounds, 12 ounces, big, blue, beautiful eyes, blonde hair, and he was whole and beautiful. They tested him, and he tested clean. So you know it was by the grace of God, you know, protecting him. And so
no,
he couldn't do anything.
Right. That has to be divine grace and mercy.
I needed my son, yes. So I named him Josiah only because a believer, and she was throwing all kinds of names at me. And so Josiah stood out. And I named him Adam Josiah. So I named him A-T-O-M because it's something you can't divide or destroy. And you couldn't divide or destroy him when he was in me. And Josiah is his middle name. When I got saved and I found out that Josiah was an 8-year-old king in the Bible who destroyed the pagan idols in the temple, it blew me away, because my Josiah destroyed the pagan idols when he was in my temple. So I knew God had a plan for me at that moment. I remember falling on my knees and praying and thanking God because he saved me, you know. And even back then, when I thought I was such a wretched man, he showed me how he was with me then, you know. So it was mind-blowing. And that's why I came to the program, because I know that I had met this guy named Jesus, and I wanted to know more about him. I wanted to learn about him, how to live a life holy with him. And now I'm blessed being able to help women do the same thing. You know, it's I'm content where I'm at. I love to see women back. We work with family services. We work with POs. We're well-known through the system. So we've helped girls get their babies fast. I've seen God do the impossible. I've seen girls that were in my program, undocumented, no family here, nobody but us, and she got her babies back, you know.
It's
God's hand, and that's what we told the attorney. The attorney said, I've never seen anything like this. Social worker changing her mind the way that she did. I said, because God's on our side, you know, and it gives us an opportunity to just be able to minister to them. So it's been amazing. God has really shown miracles to me that he doesn't have to, you know, to me or to these girls, but he does because he loves us. And it's through, you know, the efforts of people going in and supporting us, a prison ministry team going into the jails. If it wasn't for a prison ministry team going to the jails and speaking and teaching, I wouldn't have came to the home. I wouldn't have known about God, you know.
Right,
so
exactly. That is it. So, so we can be sure that this is a work of God. This is something that he's provided, and he gives all of you ladies and everyone who is connected with it exactly what you need to carry out his will there, so that you can reach all of these women, all of these girls, and the children that they bring into this world, all of those children who are being affected. He tells us to tell the next generation, teach the next generation about him, and the children that we have, we are to disciple them. We're to train them in the way that they should go. Teach them about God.
You know,
go ahead, please.
I was going to say, we recently we published a book, and it's about the story. It's the testimony stories of women that have graduated in the program. I'm in the book myself. My story, my testimony is in there, and it's an amazing book. We started putting it to the jails, and our whole goal is hopefully that we can get it into every female jail in the United States. That way they can be blessed by it. You know, a lot of people will read a story, a testimony story, and will be touched. I've had women call me from jail telling me thank you so much for putting my story out because it really touched them, you know. They really know that they have hope in God now. So it's been really, really a blessing to me to see how much my story, my life can help others just by putting it out there and sharing about the Lord, what God has brought me out of.
That's true.
And
that's so true.
And the book is From Darkness to Light.
Yes, I've read it. I have it, and I've passed it out to others.
Awesome.
And
it is awesome.
A great book. Yes,
it is
a great book. It is awesome. And everybody who reads that will come away with a new way of thinking about life. It made me feel so grateful. I thought I had problems. Oh, my goodness. And it makes us grateful, more grateful for what we have, and reminded me that, you know, things could always be worse. There are so many other people who are worse off. And
correct.
We can only be, we need to be thankful to God, and we need to help other people and tell them about Jesus. Spread the gospel message and let them know someone who cares.
There is hope
for all of
the
people who are out there, all of those little children who are molested and raped.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Girls, but mostly girls.
Yes,
feeling.
And, you know,
go ahead.
There's a lot of times where people will say, how can you believe in God? How can a God let a little girl go through everything that you've gone through or my daughter has? And I said, because God is a gentleman. He gives us freedom of choice. It's the consequences man. It's the consequences of man that we end up hurt. But God will use those things, those ugly circumstances, and he'll just turn them and make it into something beautiful. And at that moment, we can't see that. You know, we don't want to see that. I was mad at God for a long time because he killed my dad. I was raped. I was hurt growing up. How can you have done this to me? I've not done anything, God. You know, and when I came to realize how much he loved me, how much he's used those circumstances, I'm blessed. I thank God for the good and the bad, all that's happened in my life that's brought me closer to him, that brought me to the point where I know that I will have eternal life with him, you know, that promise. And this is all the hell I'll ever know, being in this world, you know.
I used to hear so often that if we didn't have pain and suffering in this life, we would not be able to enjoy the opposite of that, because we wouldn't have anything to compare it to. And I could not understand that. And so, but I do believe now, I know now, that God does bring good out of painful circumstances and situations. And only he can do that. And so it's so important for us to tell other people about that, to share our testimonies. And, you know, someone just recently, just last week, told me that the Lord has given her the gift of transparency.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you can ask me anything, because the Lord enables me to share. He gives me that gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I'm sure that is a gift, because I cannot say that. But I give her credit for that, and I know it's enabling her to do that.
That.
So her horrific pain and suffering, her grief, to help others, to let them know that there is hope, just as you are doing the same thing now.
There is.
And so,
and, you know, God loves us. You know, he cares about those little tiny things. I remember we had a girl, I'll tell you the story real fast. I had a girl in the home, and she graduated, but when she came in the home, she asked me, Gloria, can you order some Avon Roll-On deodorant? That's the only thing that works on me, because I'm a big girl, and nothing ever works on me. And I said, oh, we're not going to order it because if I order you, I'm going to have to order 10 other girls something else, you know, because we're all equal here. But we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to cover you with whatever I find on sale at Walmart. And she looked at me, and she made this face. She goes, we're going to pray about the ordering. I said, girl, God loves me, so he's going to take care of your funk, you know. It was so funny. And so she prayed for 5 weeks she was praying. Then I get a call from the church office. Oh, Gloria, pick up some makeup. They donated makeup for you guys. Can you? There's too many boxes. I go to the church, and Catherine, it was 6 cases of Avon Roll-On deodorant.
Oh, really?
6 cases. Yes, after upbringing. Can you believe that? We cried. We couldn't believe it. She fell to her knees, and she thanked God. And she's a drug and alcohol counselor. She's been clean for about 7 years now. And you know, and he does. He amazes me because he does not have to reveal himself to us that way. But he did.
Yes, not at all.
He did it for us, you know. And so it just, you know, God is real, and he's out there. And he just waiting for you to call on him, you know, and ask of him. And he's such a gentleman.
Personal.
He responds. Yes,
thank you.
Yes, thank you. You're welcome, Catherine. Thank you.
I'm glad that you were strong enough to share all of that, because the chapter that I'm going to read from the Bible tonight is Matthew 28. And I'm sure you know the famous verse that's included there. You know, Matthew 28:18. That is referred
and I
to
just
as
want to share I'm sorry. Yes.
Go ahead.
And I wanted to share, if anybody's interested in the book, they can always contact the Prison Ministry of America offices in Paramount. And if you want to share the phone number, I can do that. And if anybody's interested in a book on a testimony story.
Absolutely. Okay. So do you want to share a phone number now or a...
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
The phone number is 562-531-0117.
Okay, that's 562-531-0117.
Correct.
Okay, I'll repeat that. I recognize that as the Office for the Prison Ministries of America.
Yes.
And again, that number is 562-531-0117. That is for the ministry office, for the Office of Prison Ministries of America. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if you'd like to contact them, if you know someone who needs help, if you need help yourself, or if you'd like to join the ministry or contribute to the ministry to help these women and children, you can call that number for information. Okay, I'm going to read from Matthew 28 now. Gloria.
Yes.
If you'd like to stay on till I finish, we're coming down to the end of the show. If you'd like to stay on,
no problem.
I'll invite you to say the prayer to receive Jesus.
I'll stay on.
I'm going to begin now. Thank you very much, and we'll end the show at that. We have 8 minutes left. And so, Lord Jesus, I ask you to please help us understand your Holy Scriptures and apply them to our daily lives. And Lord, Gloria and I are here to submit ourselves to you wholly and completely, Lord, knowing that Satan must flee from us. And so here now is Matthew 28. And for anyone who's listening, who has a Bible, I hope you have it ready and we'll read along with this. Again, Lord, we ask you to please help us understand your word and apply it to our daily lives. Okay, Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. Fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." And he said, "Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests and all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciple by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, if any of you have not received the Lord, Gloria is going to lead us in prayer to invite Jesus into your heart. Gloria?
Yes.
Will you pray now to invite anyone who would like to receive Jesus, to receive him
yes.
as Savior? We have 4 minutes left.
Okay.
Please
God
pray
loves
as you
will. And he has a plan for you, and I pray that if whoever wants to receive Jesus, if you can just bow your heads right now and then just repeat this prayer with me. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Lord, I ask you to come into my heart today. I ask you, Father God, to forgive me of all I've done. Help me, for I am a sinner, Lord. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's your son. I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life. Help me to do your will, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gloria. And so now,
thank you, Catherine.
Any of you, yes, you're very welcome. May God bless you. So now we have a few seconds left. Actually, we have
Thank
a few
Catherine,
minutes.
Thank you, Catherine, so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And I will talk to you soon. May God bless you. Hope you have a great evening.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. And so now, for anyone who is listening, I'd like to say first, you're listening to the Sword and Shield Show. I'm Catherine Resendez, and I hope you'll tune in again on Thursdays from 7 to 8. And as the Lord is willing, we will have better reception in the future and less technical problems. So hopefully we won't have any interruptions beginning next week. And we have a special guest again coming on next week. You were listening today to Gloria Marshall, who is the overseer of the House of Esther, which is a discipleship and sort of recovery home, if you will. But it's really a 9-month to 1-year retreat from society where women are helped turn their lives around to have new jobs, new life, and even for those who have lost their children, to have their children returned to them. And so next week, we're going to have on a Christian counselor, mentor, and author, John Del Grosso. And I hope you'll tune in then. Until then, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I pray that you will come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have just received him as Savior, I hope that now you will go out and join a church That's what you should do if you want to follow Jesus. Join a church that teaches the Word of God from the Bible. Read it and meditate on it. And do what it says. Do what the Word of God says. Pray to Him every day from your heart. Follow Him and tell others about Jesus, because we are all called to do the work of an evangelist, to tell other people our stories. That's your testimony. Tell other people how they can receive Jesus and be saved so that you can see them in heaven. May God bless you. Good night.